Everybody hear me?
Hear you good.
All right. So good morning. Welcome to the Commvault session. We're going to talk about SharePoint-centric and Windows-centric data management. I'm impressed that everybody got up early on a Thursday morning on the last day of the show just so they could see Michelle and get three raffle tickets for Lenny's GoPro that we're giving out at the end. So thank you.
You owe me $200 for that GoPro, too.
There you go. My name is Randy Domino. I'm the chief technologist for our Windows products at Commvault and own our Microsoft partnership overall. And I'm going to share the stage today with someone who's been here actually 1 year less than I have. I've been at Commvault for 19 years. Lenny Danielli's been here for 18. And we tend not to do a lot of PowerPoint. We tend to do a lot more demonstrations, and we like the sessions interactive. So we're not going to wait till the end and ask questions. So if you have questions, it's not that, you know, not that many people, so just get up, raise your hand, ask questions, and we'll go along the way. First question I have is, how many people here are using Commvault now? About a little less than half. How many are on Simpana 9? Anybody still on 8? Ooh, that's good. All right. All right. So, welcome to the Commvault session. That keeps me out of from going to jail if I say something wrong. And a little bit of background on myself for those not familiar with Commvault. I've been here since 94, got a whole bunch of patents. The most important thing up there is I enjoy interactive sessions. Lenny does too. As a matter of fact, Lenny and I will play off each other as the presentation goes along. So interrupt, ask questions, let us know what you want. I'll be happy to go into more detail. All right. A couple of trends, and I'm sure this has been repeated all during the week. It's probably been repeated at every session you've gone, at any conference you've gone in the past 3 or 4 years. All right. Everybody has on-premise data. Everybody has different applications. We're here obviously concentrating on SharePoint. Who here is running SharePoint also has Exchange? Pretty much everybody. Good. All right. So you want to manage applications, SQL, Exchange, SharePoint. We'll even mention things like Oracle, Sybase, DB2 at a Microsoft conference. So you want to manage the apps and tiered storage. How many folks today have a tiered storage where you actually have offsite protection for disaster recovery? How many folks live on the East Coast? All right. All right. Everybody has need for offsite storage and disaster recovery. I live in Staten Island, New York. All right. I had people, friends of mine, looking for where to, you know, where could they get their personal data back. So offsite storage and tiered storage is critical today for any business, any individual, any business that's under compliance. How many folks here believe your company's under compliance guidelines from e-discovery perspective? One. How many folks work for a company that makes a dollar worth of business revenue? Anyway, you're all under compliance with different rules, whether it's Freedom of Information Act, Sarbanes-Oxley, and others. Everybody's under some sort of compliance. All right, so tiered storage, search, e-discovery, remote offices. With a very small amount of folks in the room here having tiered storage and remote, you know, hybrid computing's coming. How can I take advantage of maybe replacing tapes? How many folks here are using tapes for either backup or archiving today? One, two, three, couple. All right, so we see the cloud, in particular Windows Azure, as a nice alternative, less expensive, more, you know, easier to manage from a tiered storage perspective. So we'll actually introduce some cloud storage capabilities today as well. This is the slide we'll spend maybe 2 or 3 minutes on. And this is really the philosophical difference Commvault has with the rest of the industry.
With the jokers.
With the that's Lenny. Lenny, stand up for a second so they can see you.
Those people are jokers.
So what we see, companies like Symantec, IBM, EMC, their solution for providing backup and recovery, archiving, e-discovery, compliance, deduplication, is to go out and acquire separate disparate technologies. Now, Lenny won't get mad at you, but how many folks have one or more of those other products in those categories? All right. Just got to be just about everybody, except for the Commvault folks who have completely migrated over. All right. So what you're running is Symantec and IBM, they may sell you, you know, a solution or a set of solutions, all right? And they're selling you an integrated solution. And that definition of integration is here are 3 or 4 separate disparate products we acquired. You become the integrator. You get to figure out how they all work together. And that's their philosophical approach. EMC bought Data Domain. Symantec's bought a whole bunch of things. That's how they're meeting the needs today for data management, all right? And few of them actually have integration that any kind of detail around SharePoint. Commvault took a very different philosophy. Is A, we use Windows Server as our base. So if you have Windows Server, you can install and leverage Commvault. We built an application called Simpana, and it's one single solution, one single pane of glass that enables solutions for all those checkboxes on the leftmost column. right? So a completely radical and different approach compared to the guys who've been in the industry a little bit longer than we have. And that's something we're proud of. It's something that a Windows Server has enabled us to do. It's enabled us to have a good partnership with Microsoft over all these years. But that is a key philosophical difference in how our product works. So the same solution that does backup will do archiving. Speaking of backup, what does that mean today? It means backing up all your servers. And that also includes the heterogeneous environment. So we'll use Windows to back up even Unix, Linux, NetWare, basically everything out there except for the mainframe and the AS400. It also means managing applications. Exchange, SharePoint we'll focus on today, as well as Active Directory, Hyper-V, VMware from a virtual server perspective. Who here has virtual server technology in their enterprise today? All right. How many folks have VMware?
Boo.
Most. It's okay. Well, they had it for years before. How many folks are also using Hyper-V? How many folks are moving to Hyper-V because of the price performance capabilities now? All right. Just about everybody. That showcases one of the features we have in Commvault called release independence. All right. Usually you have to retain data for 3 years, 5 years, longer period. Everything we back up, everything we archive from VMware can be restored directly to Hyper-V. So it's enabled you to, you know, get out of that more expensive VMware solution, get onto Hyper-V, but still get the ability to bring that data forward. So we don't market ourselves as a migration play, but Symphonic can be used that way. Support for workstations, laptops. So, A, when we say backup, it means full disaster recovery. If your data center gets dropped, you can bring it up somewhere else. It also means granular management, item-level management in SharePoint, message-level recovery in Exchange. It also is integrated with complete search capability. Lenny's going to go into a lot more detail on e-discovery and search as we proceed through the presentation. Archiving, which has many different meanings today in the industry. All right. Compliments to Microsoft, SharePoint, fastest growing application in Microsoft's history. To the hardware vendors, they're pretty happy about it because it's the fastest growing use of disk space in Microsoft history. All right. Common theme we have is the SharePoint admin goes and says, I need 2x worth of storage for the next 6 months to get SharePoint rolled out. 3 months later, they come back and they say, I need 6x worth of storage now because it's taken off virally. I compliment Microsoft's selling strategy. With SharePoint being free with Windows Server, everybody's adopting it. When you want those islands to communicate, you get the SharePoint server piece. Right. So, archiving, storage management. How can I get rid of or place in secondary, less expensive storage some of the older, larger SharePoint information? Same for Exchange. Right. So, we'd like to enable a zero disk growth paradigm for that high expensive, high cost SAN spinning disk. When we do that, enable, you know, this gives you your hybrid situation immediately. Search capability also sets you up for HR legal hold. And the e-discovery piece allows you to search for data based on content. All right. And this has been critical in the SharePoint world because a typical conversation with an end user and an IT admin today is Joe user calls up the help desk and says, hey, I need my file back from SharePoint. I accidentally deleted it. I need a specific version back. Can you get it back? And the IT guy goes, sure, I'll be the hero today. Just let me know the name of the file you're working on. I'll go get it back. Let me know when you were working on it. And Mr. User goes, I don't know the name of the file. All right. So help desk goes, all right, we got a moron on the other end of the line saying, they want me to get this file back. They don't even know the name of it. You know, what do they want me to do? Help desk goes, can you identify the file in any way, shape, or form in SharePoint? Well, I know the description because I kind of saw that going into SharePoint. And they may remember if it was Excel or PowerPoint or PDF, but that's all they do. They know the content. And they may, if they're lucky, remember the application they're using to generate it. But at least they know the content of the information they need back. So with Commvault, you get the ability to search based on content of the information to do restores. And that's another key differentiator. When we back up the data, when we archive it, there's full content indexing. This enables you to search online, nearline, and offline data. And we can integrate with SharePoint search as well to get a true full spectrum search. Also enables us to keep customers in compliance that for all email in and out of Exchange. And that includes if you have some of the other products, we can help migrate those indexes over. Encryption, deduplication. Okay. SharePoint, largest use of disk space today. Exchange, as Exchange 2010 came out. How many folks are on Exchange 2010? About 40%. Do you see your database sizes kind of grow when you went from 2010 compared to 2007? All right, two main reasons. One, a lot more multimedia functionality in Exchange 2010. Audits, messages, videos, everything can be shared much more easily in Exchange. But secondly, Microsoft did something for performance reasons, is that they took away something called single instancing. All right, I'll give somebody an extra raffle ticket if they answer the question properly. In Exchange 5.5 through Exchange 2007, if I send a message to 1,000 people on my Exchange server, how many copies of that message were in Exchange?
Ooh.
Who said one? Not correct. Not correct. What? 1,000 users in that database. 1,000 users in that storage group. How many copies of that message were in Exchange from 05 through 2007?
Two.
Ooh. Michelle, he gets one. Two.
Ding, 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 ding.
The one you sent and the one everyone else got. Now, Exchange 2010, for performance reasons, they want to take advantage of cheap disk with SATA. They took away the single instance paradigm, went to multi-instance. So I will ask the question, another raffle ticket gets away. On Exchange 2010, if I send that same message to the same 1,000 people community, how many copies of that message are in Exchange? Got to raise your hand.
One.
No. 1,001 right there, Michelle. Good answer. The one I sent and the 1,000 everybody else got. So that's one of the reasons why the Exchange 2010 databases are growing exponentially. So deduplication, when I do my backups, even off of passive node from DAG, we actually significantly reduce that database space. So, for example, the Microsoft Office Products Group for years has used Commvault primarily for deduplication. This is where they make Exchange, this is where they make SharePoint, where they make fast the search capability. And near petabyte worth of data today, they're actually getting about 80% deduplication rate. So significant storage savings on the back end for backup recovery and disaster recovery. When we move that data over, we'll also encrypt it. All right, how many folks may have cloud computing in your future in the next 5 years? All right. Good majority of the room. One key point to look at is, in the old days, I would go disk to disk to tape. And I'd take those tapes, I'd call a guy from Iron Mountain, he'd come in, pick up my tapes, and he'd drive away, and I'd never see the tapes again, unless I had a full meltdown. When you send those tapes out for Iron Mountain or somebody else to pick up, is the thought of my tapes are going to be shared with 5,000 other companies worth of data on the same tape? No, it's your tape. Cloud, that changes, because you have thousands upon thousands of other businesses sharing that same cloud target. So encryption, or locking that data before you send it, enables you to keep your data secure so nobody else can unhook it. Nobody else can have access to it. Commvault keeps the encryption keys on-premise by default, which means if you're using cloud computing with Simpana, you're immediately staying within compliance guidelines. Got to watch out, because a lot of folks actually say, hey, I want to send the encryption keys with the data as I move it to the cloud. You're out of compliance, because that means you just basically sent the keys to the house, to the safe deposit box. Anybody else can open it up and unlock it. Reporting, everything the system does can be looked at. We also integrate very nicely with System Center Operations Manager. So if you want to use Simpana to take advantage of that, you can. Replication, continuous data protection, all part of Simpana as well. And full edge remote laptop desktop capability, including for folks that are tethered only temporarily. So we'll be able to set policies and procedures based upon when those remote laptops connect in, fine-tune what you want to back up and protect, keep it for any kind of time period you need, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, you're all set. So what type of customer uses Commvault? We focus on the midsize and high enterprise, although there are a number of small businesses that use this as well. And those are the types of different heterogeneous and customers that use this. Now we'll start to get into the product, and I can start getting out of the marketing slide deck stuff and getting the stuff I'm more comfortable in with the product. This is what the GUI looks like. All right, one single interface to manage my entire enterprise, whether that's Unix, NetWare, Mac, Exchange, SharePoint. We have a CompServe. That's kind of the brains of the operation. Simple Windows server. Security authentication, setting the policies and procedures. We then have what we call media agents, which are most often Windows servers as well. May even be the same device as the CompServe. And these are the guys that do all the heavy lifting, move the data from point to point. They compress the data. They index the data as it's being moved. Also sets up the ability to have an media agent in the cloud, Azure being a classic example here. And, you know, compression, dedupe, all critical components. One unique thing, a way we're seeing, especially for the existing Commvault customers, you know about the emergency recovery or disaster recovery where, to protect the CommServe itself, you actually have a small SQL file that you manage in case you have to rebuild the CommServe. One of the more creative ways I've seen use cloud computing is actually taking that ER file and automatically sending it to the cloud. This way you're completely protected, it's off-site, and you can bring that file back in case you have to rebuild a comp serve someplace else in an emergency. So for the existing, I see a couple of Commvault folks going, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. So one unique use of the cloud from a DR perspective is that ER capability, just set it up with the cloud, and it gives you a nice quick ability to rebuild your comp serve. So let's take a look at the product. I'm going to do some Commvault 101 basic demonstrations, get some basic look and feel here as we proceed. And Lenny will actually go into more detail on the search side. We're at the SharePoint conference, but I'm going to start on Exchange just for, you know, as we take a step forward, go up the evolutionary food chain. So here's Exchange, and I'm running Exchange 2010. And I've been at Commvault for a really long time, 19 years. Lenny's been here for 18. I have a 31 gig mailbox. All right, I'm basically a spoiled brat. I save everything. Don't delete it at all. All right, the official reason is I want to stress our own product. So we test it internally. You know, not too many folks have 31 gig mailboxes. But I got a lot of data. Here's an email in my mailbox that actually, if you're in the front, you can see it's timestamped 2004, which means I backed it up originally with Exchange 2003. All right, release independence here is where I'm going. So I'm going to tombstone this message, completely remove it from Exchange. All right, very typical situation. Somebody needs an email back. All right, could be from weeks ago, months ago. Got to get an email back. In this case, from a previous version. All right. And this is before we get into compliance guidelines, all right, when the HIPAA police or the financial folks from Sarbanes-Oxley come along and say, I need all the information about Carol Smith over the last 3 years. And if your answer is, well, I can give you the last 6 months because I just moved to Exchange 2010, that's going to be a problem with the authorities. So you've got to be able to search based on time. It could be 7 years, et cetera. So the compliance folks are not going to care. Your end users are not going to care that you upgraded Exchange. They just want that piece of data back. So here's the Commvault interface. It's a browser-based interface. I can run it from home. I can run it from the hotel room, obviously here.
You can run it from your iPad mini.
You can run it from the iPad mini. Gentlemen, stand up. That's one of the more creative uses. He's a Commvault Simpana user, and he's running this interface, running Commvault, from an iPad mini, which is cool. That's great. Shows you how functional the interface is. It works on a slate, too, but...
Yeah. Dude, Microsoft said they want to see you after this session. They need to take that mini from you.
Yeah. I'll be with you because I actually mentioned Oracle and VMware in the same presentation, too, so we're both in trouble. But here's the interface. I can manage all my servers, all my applications, all my workstations here. So I want to manage Exchange, and this time I want to manage it at a granular level. So I'm going to browse the data. When do I want to see it from? A week ago, a month ago, a year ago? I'll just search for all of it. And I'll go into I'm the admin, I'll go into my mailbox. And I do not want to hunt through tens upon tens of thousands of messages to find this one message that I backed up on Exchange 2003. And I'm running Exchange 2010 now. And for those existing Commvault folks who have our Exchange product, you see this caching algorithm here for that's how much mail I have. You don't see that too often with mailboxes that are extremely large. So case in point. So I want to go into the inbox and I'm going to run a search. I want to find the message. And I'm just going to search for the word rematch. So I'm searching a property within Exchange. I could have searched the content of the message. I could have searched my entire mailbox. I could have searched a set of mailboxes in Exchange. I could have searched the entire enterprise, heterogeneous, for this substring match. And Lenny will show you the more powerful stuff very shortly. So there's a message. I'm going to make a restore request. We found it. Do I want to put it in the same place or a different one? If I have authority to do that, it could be a legal hold or HR discovery. Make the restore request. Now, the user's still logged in, reading, writing, sending email. All right. We've made a search request against my mailbox for a certain word in the subject header on a message I originally backed up on Exchange 2003. I'm going to attempt to restore it into Exchange Server 2010, release independence piece. Next question is, can somebody take a guess what storage target I'm using to bring this data back from today? Raffle ticket up for somebody who gets this one right. Who said Azure? There you go. Michelle?
Nice job,
another extra raffle ticket. All right. We're bringing it back. Actually, already brought it back from Azure. I got a little MiFi device up here. That's my internet connection. All right. So we showed cloud computing, e-discovery, content search, release independent, and granular management of Exchange on a live Exchange server, bringing a piece of data back that quickly. That's Commvault's definition of data management, especially as it pertains to Exchange. Any questions on the Exchange piece so far? before we move on. All right, we'll go to SharePoint. All right, we got a couple sites here. And I'm going to take this one item, Commvault Azure V4. And I'm going to delete it. I'm going to go to a recycle bin, get it out of there as well. All right, so I do like recycle bin, but more so for, you know, I'd ratchet that down to maybe 24 or 48 hours, much smaller. There's no reason to keep all that data in there that's being kept in there invisibly, taking up space in SharePoint. You know, make it, you know, one of the themes here is faster, trimmer, better performing SharePoint server. So we'll come back to Commvault. And one piece on Exchange, by the way, before I go back to SharePoint. Deduplication is huge today. All right? So, storing less data. There's really two ways to do this. One is this $150,000 EMC Linux-based data domain device that you have to manage completely separately to enable deduplication. Well, with Simpana, we simply use a Windows server. Apologies to Microsoft, not that there's anything simple about a Windows server, but it's significantly, exponentially less costly and a better performing solution using Windows Server as a software solution for dedupe as opposed to a big honking EMC device. Anybody here with EMC data domains in their environments today? A couple. All right. Some headway. Or they're afraid to mention it. So that's how easy it is to turn on deduplication within Simpana. Simple mouse click and you're good to go on dedupe. So we'll come over to SharePoint. The SharePoint server, we can manage what we call the database level, which is full SharePoint disaster recovery, full server backup and recovery, as well as site and sub-site level recovery. And for those on Simpana 9, one of the features we added is we're not reliant upon the STS-ADM command for backup and recovery. And if you use STS-ADM, if your sites go over 15 gig on SharePoint 07 or 60 gig on SharePoint 2010, the site level backup will not work with STS-ADM. Can't handle that size. Well, we scrapped that API set for site and sub-site level management years ago, actually late into Simpana 8 and with Simpana 9. So I don't care if your site is, you know, terabytes. You're, you know, good to go for site and sub-site level management. We also have the item level management, which gives you the ability to back up and recover individual items, documents, templates, forms, ASPX pages. And here's the interface. The way I manage Exchange is the same way I manage SharePoint. So I'll scroll down through a couple of sites. Go into my Microsoft Cool Stuff folder. And again, lots of information here. So I want to try to make this very, very easy. So let me search just for V4, just for that content, because that was the name of the item that was deleted, was Azure V4. So again, a substring search. So the search mechanism for Exchange is exactly the same for SharePoint. Would be the same for file systems, Unix, Linux, NetWare, even those of you who may still have Lotus Notes. Question? Okay. Yes, the highest level would be the entire enterprise, including every Unix, Linux, NetWare, Macintosh machine, as well as all the Windows servers as well. So the highest level on the evolutionary food chain for Commvault Search is the entire enterprise. And that's literally everything except the AS400 and the mainframe. Although with some RFS kind of capability in, we can even take care of the mainframe and the AS400 as well. But highest level is top, the entire enterprise. And actually, Lenny's going to do some of that searching as we get deeper into the presentation. I just kind of like set the foundation here for our base functionality and we move up. But we'll actually show some of that enterprise-wide search in more detail shortly. Yeah. Good question. Michelle, that question gets an extra ticket.
Randy's very generous today.
Very generous, yeah. I don't know.
Must have drank a lot last night.
I actually won on a slot machine a little bit last night, so I'm actually saw my hit, so I'm actually a little happy. So, generous mood. So, there's our Azure V4. We'll make a restore request. Now, if it's a version-enabled library, I have a default to bring back all the versions of that item. So, I could just bring back the most recent or find a specific version. I can also restore it to a different SharePoint location in my enterprise. So I can put default is to put it back where it came from, but I have the option of moving it anywhere in my SharePoint environment. So I made the restore request. We see here the job kicked off. And again, we're using cloud storage as the target in which to bring this piece of data back from. All right. And if this piece of data was backed up from SharePoint 03 or 07, not SharePoint 2001, even though we had support for that, but obviously the architecture radically changed. So everything from SharePoint 03 and 07 can be restored and recalled into SharePoint 10, and the same philosophy will hold through with SharePoint 2013 as that gets closer to delivery. All right, questions on SharePoint so far from basic backup and recovery? All right, our restore is complete. We'll come back to SharePoint. Now, I have to refresh the screen here. Remember, V4 was right about here. I think it had a January 6th timestamp. Refresh the screen. There it is, restored exactly as it was. All right, so Commvault 101, backup and recovery. Now we'll go to archiving. Question? We restore the permissions as it was. So we are backing up the metadata of the item and bring back the permissions as it was. The only time that may not carry is if you are restoring a site or a subsite to a different SharePoint farm. That restore, it will enable the rights of the parent folder or the parent site. So if you do an out-of-place restore, it'll restore based on the permissions of the parent. Blob storage. What about questions? What about blob storage? Good question. And I'm going to jump ahead now, one discussion point since you brought it up. A lot of folks, how many folks are using SharePoint with blob storage today? Okay, good. A little more than I thought. All right, two answers. Number one, our granular management works with it. All the functionality I just showed for granular management, search capability, indexing, archiving work with blob storage. Matter of fact, our archiving technology that I'm going to show you shortly uses blob storage as well. From a disaster recovery perspective, what we would suggest, anybody here using mainframe as blob storage? Okay, good. I actually have a guy in New York that does that. He's actually using mainframe as a blob store. From a blob storage perspective, we will simply put a file system agent on that machine and back it up and snapshot that as well. So we do have the ability to take full management of blob storage environment as well, with the exception of the mainframe and the AS400 as a target. Question? On a NAS device? As long as I have an IP address to that NAS, especially NetApp, we work fine. Matter of fact, NetApp, since you say NAS, NAS is usually, is NetApp your NAS? No, which is it? Tashi, same. All right, yeah. They use our snap management capability, so it's actually Commvault under the covers. Same for NetApp. So if it's a NAS device, same holds true. So very, very tight integration with both Hitachi and NetApp. Matter of fact, Hitachi and NetApp, OEM Commvault software under the covers. So if you get their products, you actually have a piece of Sapana already. All right, other questions? All right, let's take a look at deduplication for SharePoint, and then we'll go over to archiving. We'll get into some more fun stuff. So here's our SharePoint backup recovery tab. I'll go to storage device, deduplication. Again, a simple mouse click to enable dedupe, and you'll see significant storage savings with that dedupe option. Archiving. Now, before I run my archive, I'm going to go to SQL Server Management Studio. Take a look at how much free space we have in our SharePoint content database. And right now, we have about 30 meg worth of free space. All right, so basically everything is in SharePoint. And we see, again, one of the challenges is SharePoint's fastest growing use of disk space. So how can we help manage that? So I'm going to go to SharePoint Archiver within Sapana. And for those folks who have Sapana and don't have this one for SharePoint, we got to have a talk afterwards, because this is probably the hottest feature in our SharePoint solution set today. All right, so let me run an archive immediately. So the archive job kicked off. There it goes. And we'll take a look at the properties and the rules. All right. So for this archive, because I want some archive to happen, I'm going to say, I don't care how old the item is. Most customers might have 90 or 180 days as a time frame before they archive off to secondary and or tertiary storage. In this case, everything over 1.1 meg, archive out to secondary storage. Lenny will shortly show you Exchange from an archiving perspective, and those fields are exactly the same for Exchange messages as well as all file systems we support. We're getting some of that older, less used data off of high-spinning, high-cost disk. For SharePoint, we added one feature called version control. So I may want to archive everything, but keep the most recent two or three versions of an item. Right? We have some customers with over 500 versions of an item today, and they want to get most of that off onto secondary storage. I can also archive based on user, which is key as more Active Directory integration with SharePoint comes in SharePoint 2013, so I can actually dovetail single sign-on and archive based on user. I can also archive based on file type. I can actually pick specific files. The best example of this today is we have a Commvault customer that's a university east of the Mississippi. That's about as much I'm going to give out as who it is. And they gave out 40, each student, each of their 40,000 students, they gave a MySite to. Spark collaboration, Spark sharing of information, and it was a great idea. Now, they exploded the amount of disk space they had, and as we started going into archiving, what they found out is they had 27,000 copies of a Kim Kardashian video floating around SharePoint that they were sharing back and forth. So here was a way to actually fine-tune that specific piece of data, get it out of there. And by the way, when we run the archive and complete it, if I run the SQL command called database shrink, I actually recompress the database and reclaim all that disk space. At the end of the day, faster, trimmer, better performing SharePoint server, which also makes upgrades a lot easier. So our archive's complete. Also, on archiving, go to deduplication, simple mouse click, same interface. So before we do any recalls, we'll go back to SQL Server Management Studio, see if we archived anything out. Remember, I think we had about 30 meg worth of free space before the archive. Whoops. Go back to our content database, properties, and now we're up to 152 meg worth of free space. So we just archived out about 130, 125 worth, meg worth of data. What's the storage target we're using for this archive out? Azure again, all right? If I was at an Amazon show, I'd probably say Amazon. But in this case, we're using Azure as the cloud storage target again. We'll come back to SharePoint. So the users, everything looks pretty much the same. So let's go to our different folder here. I'm going to take this one item. Now, I could click on it and automatically recall it. All right? But if it's version enabled, I may want to have a little bit more granularity for my end user population. So I'll open it up. Now, everything from view properties on down through delete is standard out-of-the-box SharePoint 2010. We add a web part called Recall Archived Data. And you can make this option available to your user community. So if I click on that, I see this item was not just archived once, but archived about over 100 times. And we see that very often. All right, so here's a 1.2, 1.3 meg file archived 100 times. So I got that much free space back from my SharePoint environment, back from my high-cost spinning disk by getting that data out of there. I'll click on Recall the Selected Version, and we'll make the recall request. So again, we're going from here up to the cloud, off to an Azure data center in the New York, New Jersey area, recalling this single piece of item, bring it back, and again, something your users can do pretty easily on their own. They could have just clicked on the file, automatically recalled it, or in this case, actually go down and actually fine-tune which specific version. And that little blue bar on the bottom is SharePoint saying the job's kicked off. So that's the user-level recall. Let's take a look at what an administrator would do from a more deeper dive from an archive recall. Question? Good. Yeah. Yes, if a user clicked on it and it was archived, we would automatically recall
the
that
version.
Individual, the individual file. All right. Generally, folks will use a disk to disk. They'll go from their high-end spinning disk where SharePoint is to a cheap SATA disk for disk to disk target, maybe keep the data there for 90 or 180 days or a year, and then archive off to tertiary storage, which cloud makes a very good target to do that. We'll automatically recall from the best place. If for some reason the primary target went away, we'd automatically default to the secondary target and bring it back from there. So you can make it completely seamless. So before I do the mass level recall, I heard the little bing. So the recall completed successfully, and I'm keeping the verbosity up here. So now I'll click on it. Open it up, and there's the image that we recalled back from archive. All right, so this is the user level. If they had just clicked on it, they would have got this, would have came right up immediately. So that's the user level taking advantage of archiving. And you really want to make archiving transparent to the user. They shouldn't have to learn something new because you're archiving. Question?
Will it then re-archive?
Yes. Good question. Question was, if we archive the item, would it re-archive again? The standard default would be if it was a 30-day time frame or a 60-day time frame, that clock would start on that individual item again. And once 30 days or 60 days transpired, it would archive out again.
Oh, so it doesn't restore the original
created date? We did come back with the original created date. Yes, we do. But we do change the, yeah, we do give it, the system is aware that it was recalled back. There's a
timestamp.
A property has to do with the offshoot of the modified time that we use to reset the clock. If you're archiving based on time, some folks don't archive based on time. They may just want to archive based on content. They may want to archive based on any other number of conditions. But if you're archiving based on time, that clock would restart. And that includes if I had 100 versions and I brought back version 51, version 51 would stay in there for the 30 days because you probably edited to some degree if you opened it up. So the clock would restart on that new recall. Question? Okay, two answers to that, I think, if I understood the question. First one, if they opened it up, they could check it out and save it back in anywhere they wanted in their environment as they normally would. Secondly, the administrator would also have the ability to recall that data and place it out, you know, we call it off-site restore or rough site recall. And I'll show you that screen as I bring back everything else. You've seen the presentation, almost like you've seen the presentation before, because that's actually the next demonstration I do. All right, good question. That's one of the more popular things, especially from a site and subsite level management. People love, they have a pristine environment set up on a site and they want to replicate it all over the place. So it's just a simple cross restore on the site. I'll show you the actual screen and the checkbox to restore out of place. Good. That's a good question. That gets an extra ticket. All right, so let's do a little bit of an administrator mass recall. So I'm going to browse the data. And this is supposed to look consistently like the backup and recovery of SharePoint as well as the backup and recovery of Exchange. That's the idea. You learn one system. I don't have to get 17 different products from Symantec or EMC. So I want to recall everything except the one item I recalled before. So I'm going to recall everything else. Now, regarding the last question that came up, when I'm doing the mass recall, even on an item level recall, I can restore all the versions, which I do not want to do this time because I don't want to restore hundreds of items, hundreds of versions. But if I want to recover to a different location, I simply unclick this, the default, go to browse, and then my SharePoint universe opens up to me, and I can restore it anywhere I have SharePoint connectivity and Commvault can communicate with it. It can be used as a migration tool, yes. A lot of our customers do use it as a migration tool. Do we market it as that? No, because people get the backup and recovery thing, they get the archiving, and it's just our sales guys and our SEs will probably mention that in the hour meeting or the two-hour meeting when we review Commvault, but we don't have a data sheet saying SharePoint migration tool. We probably should.
What I like to say is, Microsoft gives you the tools to move between releases of Exchange, SharePoint, and all the other stuff. We're kind of like, we're the back end that says after you've done your migration up to the next release, if anything went wrong, we could always move it forward. It's awesome for compliance, right? Because I can maintain all those older versions on disk and then just move them forward for you. So that really helps in the management of that.
Okay. How are we on time? What time is it?
Time. I'm going to check. It's 9:40.
Okay. Good. We're perfect. All right. So I just did the mass recall into the system. And I'll come out of here. And the last piece I'll show is one of them. What's at the heart of every single SharePoint and Exchange and Windows Server environment? No, although we have great SQL capability, full support for VSS. That brings up a good point I forgot to mention. When you get a Commvault SharePoint agent, it comes with the ability to protect the file system. We also give you a SQL agent as well, and that's full VSS and VDI capability. So for those buying Commvault in the old agent style, if you buy SharePoint, you get SQL with it for free. So just why buy a SQL agent? You might as well buy SharePoint because you get SQL with it for free. But not what I was looking for. What's at the heart of every Windows Server environment? Active Directory. All right. And I'd like to say there's two ways of managing Active Directory today. One is with Commvault, which I think is kind of easier. And the other way is to learn a very intricate language called LDAP. And that can get pretty, I'd almost rather learn English as a second language than learning LDAP. So I think we came up with a way to improve that capability. So let's go to Administrative Tools, Active Directory Users and Computers. And I'll go to My Object. And I'm going to change one attribute. I'm going to give myself a promotion. To Zamboni driver. All right. I also run the hockey team at Commvault, and so that's the segue into that. So one attribute's been changed. Now, there are a number of third-party products that integrate with SharePoint that extend and modify the Active Directory. So especially our SharePoint community, when they actually want to manage AD, this is a very nice tool to have. So I'll close down our SharePoint archive recall, go into AD, and I want to browse. And again, these screens are supposed to get boringly consistent. That is the idea. If I was managing Oracle, I'd see similar screens there too. What do I want to see the data? A week ago, a month ago, I'm on a domain controller. So every object and every attribute becomes available to me to manage. Go into users. Here's my object. I can bring back the entire object with the security ID information. It's actually an API we worked on with Microsoft a number of years ago to make that very simple. Or, in this case, I want to do something a little bit more fun and just recover the one attribute. Make the recall request. Obviously, this is AD, so there is no option to restore out of place. Because AD is going to go right back, so we don't give you that option. So I make the recall request. We see the job's kicked off. And again, we're using the cloud as our backup target. So in a short period of time, we've seen what I call Commvault 101. Exchange, backup, and recovery, granular, as well as you can see the screens for the full server. SharePoint, backup, archive, granular, site, subsite, full disaster recovery, and now Active Directory. That restore is completed. We'll come back to Active Directory. I have to refresh the screen. Click on refresh. And there's the object, and the attribute's been reset exactly as it was. And again, very helpful with third-party products for SharePoint that extend. If you extend the schema, we will collect all that information as well. Questions so far? Now, I did the easy stuff.
I get that.
Lenny's going to come up and do the hard stuff.
Not really.
Oh, question. Good question. Now, Lenny and I have been at the company long enough, and we're high enough in the org, we can get in a lot of trouble if I answer the question without it. So I have to couch how I have to say this. And you should be able to read the tea leaves on how I'm going to answer it. All right. We work very closely with Microsoft. All right. Chris Docker is here. He's one of my on-campus devs at Microsoft. He went back to the booth. I was going to call Chris out. All right. He's one of our on-campus devs. A lot of folks at Microsoft use Commvault, which means we're generally supporting products there with special releases 2 to 3 years before they come out. It also behooves us. We're in every single, the lowest form on the evolutionary food chain is the TAP programs, everything else that you join, so we're there. And we're a TAP member for Exchange, and we're a TAP member for SharePoint. So you go through the Microsoft community and say, hey, I want to work with the new thing, get all the Commvault, they'll come reach us. Officially, since we went public, how many years ago? 7 years ago? 8 years ago? I don't even know. 6 years ago. I have to change how I answer that question. Before that, I could just say, we support it. But now, because Microsoft has the product officially in beta, I am not, by law, by SEC rule and regulation, allowed to say I officially support a product that another company has in beta. I cannot officially say that. I'm saying SharePoint and Exchange. This is blanket universe. Okay? The other example I like to give is we put out a press release the day Windows Server 2012 shipped. We had support for Windows Server 2012 for over a year shipping with Simpana. But unless you went under non-disclosure, we could not officially tell you that. All right? So, from a SharePoint 2013, anything that Microsoft has GA'd and is generally available from a 2013, we have support for now. If it is officially still in beta, I can't officially say we support it. But if you come to us under non-disclosure, we can work very closely with you and get you up and running on showing you what Commvault can do. So my fear is that somebody's asking for, Exchange 2013 support right now. So your guy at SharePoint.com says you have support for it. That puts our sales guys in the field in a little bit of a questionable position. So I just have to be careful. And you can tell that he and I have gone through numbers of legal training sessions on how to answer that question. We have supported every major Microsoft release at GA since Exchange 5.5, SharePoint 2001, Windows NT 4. So that's part of what we do. And that release independence is a key. We want to help you. I have a vested interest in getting you to that latest release because there's more APIs for me to play with on the new release. So I want to get you. That's why we like the release independence.
And remember, the office group is using us internally up in Redmond, So that's where this stuff is developed. So we are working on the next release of SharePoint 2015 now.
Yeah.
When that goes GA, we'll be ready for it.
Yep. And with that, we're going to pass it over to Lenny, and he's going to drive from here.
Is this me? Yeah. Okay. Good morning, everybody. I think we met at the booth. Some of you have met me. I'm a pretty colorful character. Had some fun at the show. I got a couple things I'm going to show you. Randy touched on most of the system, but I want to go through a couple other feature functionalities that we have. First of all, at the top level, I want you to look at the property tab up here. This is where all the magic's done. So this is where I could do network throttling if I'm sending stuff up to the cloud or if you have network issues with internally. I can help you with that through our system here. This is where encryption is set up. So this is where all the different types of encryption that we manage is capable of being used. So I want to show the use of this stuff and also client-side dedupe, how we're going to set this stuff up. So at the top level, all that feature for an administrator is here for you, and you just keep building down to how you want to deploy the product. That's the beauty of this product, right? Is that everything that we've built is in one single stack. That's what we've tried to do. We've tried to separate ourselves from the industry by doing this. And I think we've done it very well. Some of our customers in the back, I talked to them earlier, a lot of happy people. You got to understand, we're 24% growth quarter on quarter. We're taking that business from the competition. Our maintenance re-ups for our customers are 92% of our customers come back to us because they like us so much. The industry standard, 71, 72%. That tells you something. They like our support. They like our products. So that's why we're so passionate about what we've done. I hate that Randy always says I've been here 18 years. It makes me feel like an old man. But you know what? It's a great product, and I really believe in what we've done. So the other feature I want to talk about is down at the bottom, Content Director. So this is a feature that you can deploy, too, where I can do tagging of your data, legal holds of your data right here. And then I also have an ERM connector down here. The ERM connector gives you the ability to take anything in my stack and move it into SharePoint for a single repository of search. So I could take all your data, create folders in SharePoint that say CIO, CFO, CXO. Then any of their data that's coming into their folders, you can replicate it with our ERM connector into SharePoint. So if there's ever an audit, you can say, he did it, and I got the information. So we're trying to make that ease of use to be able to do it. Go ahead. Public folders to SharePoint. Randall? I'm not sure.
There we go. Yes, we can help you move public folders to SharePoint. We actually have public folders as part of our default Exchange capability. So there's ways for us to drop that data out into an area where you can very quickly ingest it into Exchange. There's also the ability in the pre and post process area of the Exchange agent, which Lenny's going to bring up shortly, where once you complete a restore, you can actually automatically have that happen through a simple command call. So there are ways to do that.
And you can see here we have an Exchange public folder archiver set up too. I don't have anything really in there for me because I'm doing just straight out Exchange archiving here. So, and that's the piece I'm going to go into next. So what Randy didn't touch on was the Exchange archiver piece. So basically you can see here I have two different storage policies set up. One of them is to the Azure cloud. The other default is locally to my magnetic hard drive here. So if you look here, I have my property set up basically to say Anytime an email is older than 0 days, over 30 bytes, has message body leave behind, I could set up watermark rules on the Exchange server, I could manage your stubs, I could help you find your PSTs out on your network and go and find them and ingest them back into Exchange so we can archive them out properly so you're not out of compliance. Then you're also going to turn on the features of deduplication and encryption. Encryption because I am using my store my mailbox right here, and I'm basically putting it into, where is my storage device? Azure. So I am running this to Azure Cloud too. So what you see here is when the user, when the job runs, what the user see are stubs. Here you go. This is my mailbox 2010. So they need to file back. They basically click on the stub, the user, and he's going out to the cloud right now. He's going to bring it back. So right now, my repository for Azure Cloud is Virginia. So he's going to go to the Virginia site, get that email, and bring it back to the user, and they're able to use it. And that's what we try to do, right, is make this as simple as possible for your end users and for you guys to be able to manage this stuff. That's what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to reinvent anything. We're just trying to take what the complexity of what the industry has done to the enterprise, which is acquire 5, 6, 7 different products and try to make you deploy them to one single solution to be able to give you the ability to do it. And that's the beauty of the product. So he's going, he's going to do it. I'm going to let him fly, and we'll wait a little bit. Anybody got any questions so far? The last piece I'm going to touch on is the fast integration. So there you go. That came back from the Azure Cloud. Very simple, very easy to use. Okay, so the last piece we're going to talk about here is under storage resources, this content indexing agent. So basically what this agent is Fast Technologies. We did an OEM deal with Fast before. They were acquired by Microsoft. We stuck their information, their Fast Technologies behind our software, and it gave us great granularity on being able to search. And by that I mean, Randy showed you searching from within the Commvault GUI from Exchange and SharePoint. What I'm going to do is show you the ability to do searching from a web browser. So you can see here, I'm in my site, which is SharePoint, but I have a compliance search radio button. So if I click on that, he's bringing me into the front end of Fast right now. I need to log in, and by the way, this login can be tied to Active Directory single sign-on, which means you could give this functionality to your end users to say, hey, here's, you've lost data, you need to find data, here's where you go and get it. Through Active Directory, you can only see your stuff with permissions turned on. So at the top level, your question earlier about how to find stuff from top down, here it is right here. So if I do a search on the word Azure, what's happening now is the GUI in Fast is actually going back into my ingestion of what I have in Commvault. So I have Active Directory, I have Exchange, I have file system data, I have SharePoint, and he's looking through all this stuff for any version of the word Azure. And he found 94 versions of the word Azure. The best part is he starts to refine it down to say, I found them in Word 2007, I found them in regular Word, but the one I was looking for I know is in Excel. So I just click on the Excel, he shows the three, I click on it, and I can do many, many things from a web browser. I can restore it, I can export it, I can do all kinds of feature functionality with it. That's the power of the product right there. I tell people, that to me is the coup de grace, right? Forget everything else. I'm giving you access anywhere, anytime, from any web browser that you have in the world to find any data that we manage. Oracle, Linux, Unix, Microsoft. Find it, restore it, do what you want with it. Compliance officers, go to work, give them the interface, say, here you go, you don't need to come to my office, do it in your office, find your stuff, lock them up, whatever you got to do, I don't care, it's not my responsibility. And so that is the beauty of this. Go ahead, Randy. Yeah,
and the reason, you know, we're at the SharePoint conference. We're at the SharePoint conference, right? And sometimes, you know, we get questions, why did Randy go into Exchange first and I hit on Active Directory, we might have showed file system. It's that we have an enterprise-wide product. We have best of breed for SharePoint, but that same solution for SharePoint does everything else in the heterogeneous environment, which is why I kind of tease a little bit with Active Directory and I tease a little bit with Exchange. And Lenny's really showing that off, you know, to a much higher degree than I did.
The other piece I just want to talk about, Randy touched on earlier, that our SRM integration, so our storage resource management integration. So what we've done is we've stuck that kind of technology behind our software too. Remember, Commvault started out as a backup and recovery company. When we started out with our first iteration of Galaxy 1.1, we went to the MET conference. This year they brought it back, but it was gone for 10 years.
And we were showing the ability to do message level recovery going back to 2000. And basically, that's where the product started. That's all it did. And it has grown into what you're seeing today over the last 12 years. And that's because our customer base has told us, this is what we're looking for. These are the requirements we want. And we listen to our customers. We're not big behemoths where we don't listen to you. We will actually take your information. If it's good for you and good for the rest of the industry, we'll implement that technology. So, I mean, the SRM piece is pretty cool. If I click on my Exchange database, basically right here, what he's doing now is he's loading up my SRM. I've already run it, and he's going to start to give me information about my stores. So you can see here my public stores, how much data is on them. It's minimal, but in your environment, you would see a heck of a lot more information. Also, I have it on my volumes and my file system shares. So he shows me how much I'm using there, how much data I have left. And the object of this is to take these charts and basically come back to say, okay, I have X amount of stale data, or I have X amount of data that's not being utilized for a long time. I want to set up the Archiver piece to move this off to cheap secondary storage so it's not on my primary NetApp, EMC, expensive disk, but I still have access to it through stub control. So when you tie in this all together, you see the power of the solution, right? It's just an incredible solution. Then at the top level up here, I want to give you a quick overview on how easy it is to set up a cloud storage library. Okay, so if I come to my control panel and I come into the library and drive configuration tool, that's my server. I'm going to add him over. I'm going to say, you know what? I want to add a cloud storage library. So I give it a name and I say, add new device. Well, guess what? There they all are. So Commvault supports every cloud storage library out there. So if you want to use Azure, we know it's blob.core.windows.net. You get your account name, your access keys, and your way you go. You got to understand, we use magnetic drives random accessly very efficiently. So to me, that's just a bunch of disk drives sitting in some farm somewhere in Iowa or in Chicago or somewhere else. Same thing with Coringo, Amazon. We've done all the hard lifting for you guys. So we're trying to make this as easy as possible for you to be able to manage your data in an effective way. So, questions? God bless you.
Bless you. All right, but Lenny, how many...
Go ahead.
Good.
Well, it all depends on how you want to, you know, so if you want to deploy the content indexing stuff, that gives your end users the capability to find their stuff through web browsing, right? Otherwise, most of the time, the onus is back on you to be able to go do those restores, unless you're using our archiving, right? Because then when we use the archiving, we're starting to give back that functionality through Exchange, through SharePoint, to be able to do it themselves. So we try to do hybrid. It's really how you guys want to deploy it, what's best for your company.
We have companies that have one godlike person that does everything for hundreds, thousands of users, and sometimes there's a couple of aggressive folks that actually give almost every user the ability to recall stuff. And there's no right or wrong answer. We just had to set it up and make it configurable as you want. Now, we sit down and talk about what we've seen over the years in a lot of other environments that may be similar to yours. We can provide a lot of suggestive guidance. But there really is no right or wrong answer. Yep. Bring up the Exchange Archive Outlook for a second. I want to give the form to the Exchange, just Exchange with the archiving messages. Other questions? Performance benchmarks on the cloud storage. Good question. My first politically correct answer is Amazon, Microsoft Azure, they're going to talk about speeds and feeds from their cloud. We will optimize it as best we can. We will compress and deduplicate the data. If I have a 500 terabyte SQL database, I may not want to just use Azure or Amazon as my primary storage target because you're going to be bound by speeds and feeds unless you got dark fiber or direct connect. It really depends on it. We've seen very good performance speeds on most of the cloud
A lot of the things that we're seeing is how many hops does it take your company to get to the superhighway network, right? If you got one connection out and then you're going to the superhighway, it's fast. Some companies have 2 to 3 connections before they finally hit it, and it slows the process. It has nothing to do with us. We can't control that. It's a matter of how that switch is coming into your company to get you out to that superhighway, out to the cloud.
Yeah, we learned that at Commvault because in New Jersey, where we're headquartered, the Azure connector is on a, we're like on the most distant train station we could possibly get on, and had to take 3 hops before we get it, before we actually had to figure out which connectors. And that's some of the expertise that we have in the field, because we have, you know, let us come in, guys like Tom's still here. Tom Atanasi is one of our field guys, expert in actually helping optimize your environment. So I'm not ducking the answer, but it's kind of like saying, what speeds am I going to get if I'm backing up a terabyte SQL database at Raymond James to SATA versus NetApp versus high-speed SAN? It really depends on, there's a number of factors that involve that. We can help optimize and guide. We may have registry settings we suggest you do for certain cloud targets, but it's, you know.
And the file types you're moving, stuff like that are really important. Also, what we've noticed is you want to definitely do deduplication on the disk and then move it to more disk and then move it to the cloud. That's the way to do it. You do not want to do dedupe and go to the cloud. You want to do dedupe to disk, move it to another disk, and then move it to the cloud.
Well, what I can say, we're probably the closest cloud partner we have is Microsoft right now. They're actually reselling Commvault as part of their Azure solution. All right, we have a good relationship with Amazon. Some of the other guys, you know, British Tel, where they're using AT&T as their backbone, actually kind of OEMs Commvault, as they're providing data management services. It's Commvault under the covers. So we have a good number of expertise with some of the larger players. It's definitely not one size fits all.
Right.
And there's basically almost the same interpretation of what they call the Patriot Act in each country. So most often than not, when you're in country, you have to back up to, if you're using the cloud, you have to back up in theater or in country. Now, we provide one look. So you may be managing data in Singapore and New York and Europe. We'll still give you that single interface to manage the data, and we'll actually find out where it is. But we do have a team of people around the world that are expertise in keeping people within compliance. And one of the pieces of compliance is what the interpretation of the Patriot Acts. And we can help you with which cloud vendors have the most geographic locations on providing to keep within compliance.
And the great part about what I think what you're saying is, okay, I got a US-based organization, I have a European-based organization, and I have an Asia-Pac organization, right? So each one of those organizations is going to be writing to the localized cloud providers that are in their area, whoever it is. Great part about our system is all that stuff can be separated, right? The U.S. can only use the storage policies that you set up here, European the same way, and Asia the same way. And they're all managed independently from the same interface. That's the beauty of it.
You have the ability within the policies to enable you to see what data you are allowed to see. You have that set up. That's one of the number of ways you can set it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Bring up AD. Bring up the console. Go. Drive.
So you can really get very...
Now you're getting the real Commvault people, man. We're getting the real technology heads up here. Come on up, Tommy.
We're going to have Tommy doing these soon, too, now.
So
you got to tell him what you're doing.
Senior product manager.
No, and tell them what you're doing as you're doing it.
Oh, absolutely. So here,
name servers. What you see here is an Active Directory domain. And 1 sec here. So this is where we're going to go ahead and add the different domains in the environment. If you guys are probably, I'm not as old as these guys, but if you remember NT4 security, or you had sort of the models was you created groups in the directory, and then you created groups on a local server. The local server group is where you added permissions and capabilities. Then you took your global group, added it to your local group, and that's how you provided permission. We kind of have a similar model where our local group is actually a convol group. So you come create your convol group, create your capabilities, and then associate it with objects in the comcell. From there, you take your domain groups, add them into those local groups, and that's how we provide permissions. So you can have a dozen different domains here that we'll integrate with and allow you to create groups in those domains, add them into convol with the proper capabilities, with the right permissions associated with specific objects. As far as specific goes, you can get all the way down to, for example, a single subclient that might be protecting a simple group of mailboxes on an Exchange server. And underneath the security tab, we'd be able to say, this group of users sees this data and that data only and nothing else. Whether it's end users accessing archive and backup data, or if it's administrators that need to be able to manage storage policies and configuration like that. So you can get very, very granular with multi-tenancy environments for both end users and administrators.
Even to the level of what day and what time they can do stuff. Yeah. So.
Right, operation windows.
Yeah.
So everything you see here can be driven via command lines. If you look at documentation.convol.com, do a quick search on Q commands. All the features, functions, methods that are driving everything you see here can all be scripted. Not through PowerShell. It's our own commands that we provide for you to script with. That is very robust, but it's still a scripted solution. Wait till you see what's dropping with the next release. We've taken it a whole nother level.
Shh. Careful. Actually, he'll get in less trouble than Lenny and I will.
I'll have to kill him.
But because Q commands work really well, but it's still a scripted solution. So the next step forward is to make it more of a, I don't want to drop too many words, but make it a little more manageable.
You got yourself in trouble now. You might as well go for the gusto.
Open the kimono a bit further to really expose our feature and function underneath, so you're not bound to using the specific GUI interface through the web or through a Java console or whatever. So yeah.
I got to send a note to my lawyer about Tom. He kind of said some stuff, and I got to make sure it's him.
Tom said it.
Blame me.
That's right. I don't have the stock you have to lose.
Yeah, so. Right.
Thanks, Tommy.
Questions? Back.
That interface can manage up from 1 to 5,000 servers. Then you would deploy what we call another comcell to do more servers, and then we would add those in to create what we call an overall
single view.
Right.
Yeah, there really
single
is no
view
limit.
Of all of it.
For example, Shell Oil has tens upon tens of thousands of servers worldwide, all managed out of Kuala Lumpur. One interface. For fault tolerance for Commvault or fault tolerance for... they're set up for fault tolerance.
Right.
So they have... Again, I brought up, mentioned briefly that emergency recovery. Our servers, our media agents and comm servers can be set up in a high availability environment. So they fail over. There's a lot of redundancy. Even to the point... For example, here's a feature that Lenny and I are going to kick ourselves for not even mentioning. For example, one of the things, especially with cloud computing and transient backups and archives and restores, interruptions. All right. Everybody else is like, "Oh, we restart from we'll restart the job." No, we actually have resumability built in. So everything we back up in archive, there's interruption, we pick up at the point where the interruption was, as opposed to going back and restarting the job.
Good point.
So a lot of resilience. These are some of the things we're getting long in the tooth. We forget about some of the basic features, but those are built in. A lot of resiliency built in.
Yeah.
Just upon overall. Other questions? Bring up the Exchange screen for a second.
Outlook.
Outlook screen with it. Just bring up the archive icon. Yeah. Yeah, stop right there. Now, you see these little Commvault icons? I just like to mention this. All right, that designates to an end user that the message has been archived out to secondary storage. That is configurable, because we mentioned how to fine-tune it. And we have a state agency in the southeastern part of the United States that did the most creative example. This is basically an OFL form post. All right, and you can post your own. And the way they educated their user community is they got rid of the Commvault icon and they replaced it with a little picture of Elvis Presley's face. It was a way for them to say, well, the message was kind of dead but can always be brought back at any time. And that was the way they instantly trained all their user community about what an exchange email was archived. There's a lot of flexibility and a lot of point capability built into the product. They will see the item as it is. Actually, no, if you bring up the archived column in SharePoint, which is not the default, but you bring that column up, then it will. When we archive the item, it'll trigger archived. So it's not in the Exchange product, because everybody uses Exchange, we just put that in there straight up. For SharePoint, you actually have to configure the SharePoint flag for people to see it.
And Tommy, what's happening in 10?
No, we can't talk about that yet.
It's changing. It's changing. It's changing. We're always changing with times.
Questions? Somebody had a hand up over here.
All right. It's time to give away the GoPro.
Mr. Stocker, who's our on-campus dev, who we got to get out of jail free card to come to Vegas this week. Lenny, pick out a number.
Okay. 3, 4, 5, 2, 6. Sit down. 6, 2, 6, 6. That person left?
No.
3, 4, 5, 2, 6, 6. Good for
them. Wow.
Them.
There was two people that left.
So yep. Well, that's their fault. 3, 4, 5, 2, 1, 8.
We have a winner.
All right.
Let me
see that ticket. Got to make sure.
We thank you.
You got it, my friend. All the best. Thank you.
Thank everyone.
Thanks,
for attending.
Everybody.
We'll be back at the booth. You want to stop by?